God's word is living and active speech. God's word is living and active. It's living and active speech. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God breathed. Breathed out from God. The word of God is breathed out from the voice of God, breathed out. And it's profitable for correction and teaching and reproof and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. Discipleship. Scripture does the work of discipleship. Scripture is the work of discipleship. You have to be trained in righteousness, right? Thoroughly equipped and made profitable by God, and you are trained, equipped, and made profitable by God through His word. It is living and active speech. God's word works. God's word is more than truthful. Listen, God's word is more than truthful. It is perfectly true. But God's word is more than its propositions. It's more than its propositions. It reveals truth, and it creates the truth it reveals. It reveals truth, propositions. But it's God's word. It does more than any other propositional book that gives you facts and truths and regulates and commands and decrees. It does those things. But it does more. It creates the lively spirit and desire to do those decrees, commands, and regulations. It speaks truth to us. It speaks truth into us. God's word speaks salvation. God's word creates it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. God spoke creation into existence. Let there be light. God spoke, let there be light. And he speaks to create new life. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Do you hear Peter? You are born again by the imperishable, living, and active word of God. The word makes new creatures. New creatures who respond with the Virgin Mary. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. The word is living and active speech. And we are committed to God's word because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The word of God. Wholehearted commitment to God's word. That is who we are. That's the Reformation. The Reformation is wholehearted commitment to the word of God. That's 2 Kings 23. And that's the truth we will look at. That's my thesis statement. The word of God creates wholehearted commitment to God. The word of God creates wholehearted commitment to God. Chapter 23, 2 Kings, verse 1. Then the king sent, and all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem were gathered to him. This is a church service. The minister, the king, called for worship, and God's people, it says, both great and small, all the people gathered before God for worship, because that's what God's people do. We obey the book. And the book commands us to not forsake the assembly and the gathering of God's people. So Christians gather as God commands. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all the priests and all the prophets and all the people, great and small. Josiah called all God's people to God's house to do something particularly important, to hear God's word. That's church. That's worship. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. In the last chapter, he himself heard the same book. In the last chapter, it called the book of the law, capital L, meaning the book of Torah, the first five books of the Bible. By calling it the book of the law, the Bible, by calling the Bible the book of the law, it's emphasizing that the book of the law is propositional. The book of the law has commands and decrees and regulations. Book of the law. But now it calls that same book the book of the covenant. By calling it the book of the covenant, it is understood that God's word reveals more than truth. It creates the truth. It reveals. It covenants God to his people. It binds. God's word binds God's people together. God's word binds God's people together to keep God's commands. And we know the command is love. And so we are a holy communion in the unity of the true faith. And the Holy Spirit works that faith by the hearing of God's word. And God's word binds us all together. Binds us as brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, the church is the family of God. And in this holy union, we seek to love God and each other in a greater world than we show in a greater way than the love we share to the world. We do share the world. We do show the love, the world love, but to each other, a greater love. Covenant Reformed Church means we must be wholeheartedly committed to God's word and to each other. And the world should see it. It should be tangible. The watching world should look at Covenant Reformed Church and say, look how much they love each other there. Now that's love. Let's go there. Let's go there and be loved and loved like they do. Book of the Covenant, it binds God's people. And the king stood, verse 3, by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. He cut a covenant to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes. And notice how? With all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. And all the people joined in the covenant. They're all united together. Josiah promised to perform the work. He promised to perform the work he wanted to perform. He promised to do the work he wanted to do because he wanted to do it with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wanted to keep the God's law. This wasn't just bare, concrete rule following. This was love for God's word. He loved God's word. He heard it. In the last chapter, he heard it for the very first time. And now hearing that word in chapter 23, we see the result of the hearing. He loved it. He heard it and fell in love with it. For the first time, he fell in love with the book. This is the work of the word. The word of God unites our hearts together in love for God's word. And it's wholehearted commitment. That's the love that we have for the word. It's wholehearted commitment to the word of God. And therefore, Josiah acted against all other commitments. Verse 4, and the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the threshold to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels made for Baal, for Asherah, for all the hosts of heaven, and he burned them. Burned. You see, his love for the word caused him to destroy all other words. His love for the word of God caused him to hate all other words, all other decrees, commands, regulations, forms of worship that are not from God's word. Anything that set itself beside God's word or even above God's word, he destroyed. Like no other iconoclasm in Scripture. You see, the renewal of the covenant that he made with the Lord led to the destruction of false worship in Israel. And that's because those who are in covenant with the Lord cannot be in covenant with God's enemies. Those who are in covenant with God cannot be in covenant with idols. God's word demands wholehearted commitment and only commitment to itself. If you have your Bibles, we can read of this law in Deuteronomy. Turn with me, if you will, or follow along. Deuteronomy 7. I was going to read 6 verses from Deuteronomy 7. This is what he was reading, by the way. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are to enter to take possession of it, and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, 7 nations, more numerous and mightier than yourselves. And when the Lord your God gives them over to you and you defeat them, then you must devote them to complete destruction. You shall make no covenant with them and show no mercy to them. You shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons or taking their daughters for your sons, for they would turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he would destroy you quickly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall break down their altars and dash in pieces their pillars and chop down their ashram and burn their carved images with fire. That's what God's word commands. It commands wholehearted commitment. So Josiah broke, chopped down, burned all of Israel's false worship. And the verbs in this section, the verbs in this iconoclasm, the verbs in this section are intense and they move rapidly. His destruction is brutal and total in its reach. 7 times we read that Josiah burns all the idols. He grinds to dust twice. He tears down 4 times. He smashes twice. He tears down 4 times. He destroys 1 time, cuts down 1 time, removes twice, slaughters once, throws twice, and defiles 4 times. He's moving quick, and he's destroying it all. In his holy iconoclasm, we see his wholehearted commitment to God's word. He's a sola scriptura man. He is reformed. He is reformed man. God's word man. And he not only destroys all of the idols, the Baals, the Asherah, and so forth. He also rips out and tears out all the Yahwistic temples and altars. He takes all of the altars and temples in the high places where Israel worshiped Yahweh. They're worshiping Yahweh at these temples and these altars, but he takes them and he destroys the Yahwistic altars. Why? Because God did not command them. It was a tradition of man. Jeroboam started the tradition. King Jeroboam started the tradition by putting high places in Bethel and an altar and a temple in Bethel. But wholehearted commitment to God's word is wholehearted commitment to God's word alone and worshiping God as he commands alone. Hebrews 12:28, we read it all the time. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus, therefore, let us offer God acceptable worship. Acceptable worship means there is a right way to worship God, and that right way is by God's word alone. We worship not according to any other tradition but God's word. And we value tradition. You see it in our church, right? You see your church. There's tradition all over the place here. We're very traditional. But there's a lot of traditions we don't do because we obey God rather than man. We do the tradition that's upheld by God's word. If there is a tradition in the church that is not by God's word alone, we forbid it because we have a wholehearted commitment to God's word alone. We love tradition. You can see it in your church. We love ancient forms. We love ancient practices. I mean, if you look in our liturgy, a lot of these practices are ancient. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. Let us give thanks. Give thanks. That's 2nd century. We've been saying that since the 2nd century. The Sursum Corda, lift up your hearts. We look them up to the Lord. Second century. Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, Athanasius' Creed. We are ancient. But only the forms and practices that are biblical. Or we reject them. We only follow biblical tradition because we are wholeheartedly committed to God's word. Wholehearted commitment is sola scriptura. God's word norms everything we do. And Josiah not only destroyed, I love, he defiled. If you read through it, he takes, actually, he crushes, tears down these altars, these asherim, these high places, and then he grinds them with the bones of men. And that's his way of making them an abomination. He's taking bones of human, he's taking humans and smashing and grinding and sowing them with these false worships to make them abomination so they cannot be used again. This is the fullest and most complete iconoclasm in all of Kings. He perfectly rid the land of idolatry. It's the first of its kind. There have been other kings who've done some iconoclasm, who've destroyed some things, but not like Josiah. He evidences a singular commitment to Yahweh alone. And what's interesting is he knows that this will not change Yahweh's mind. He knows that Yahweh has commanded and promised that Israel will be destroyed completely, wiped off the face of the earth. No amount of good work, no amount of service to the Lord would remove coming judgment. And so he's acting here not out of self-interest. He's reforming Israel for one reason alone, because he loves God's word. He heard it, and it changed him. He's doing it for one reason and one reason alone, because it's right, and he will follow God's word alone. And he will reform Israel because he loves the word of God. Verse 21, and the king commanded all the people, keep the Passover of Yahweh, your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. Why keep the Passover? It says it. Because it's written. Why do this? Why worship this way? Because it's written. And Israel has forsaken it for so long. Verse 22, for no such Passover had been kept since the day of the judges. Since the book of Judges, Israel, we've read the book of Ruth, we've gone through Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings. We've just done a lot of Israel's history. We just did a big chunk of the Old Testament for the last 5 years here at Covenant Reformed Church. We've been in the Old Testament for a long time. And that whole time, I was amazed when I read this. It never occurred to me until I read it this last week. During that whole time, they were not keeping the Passover. For that whole time, they were not keeping God's word. Think about it. 1 Samuel all the way to Josiah. That's Samuel the prophet. That's King David. Hezekiah. All these godly, no one was keeping the Passover. Josiah's reform is totally unique in all of Israel's history. He's the only king to completely destroy idolatry. And there's one reason why the text says he did all of this. It's verse 24, that he might establish the words of the law that were written in the book. The only reason he does all of this reform is because he loves God's word with all of his soul, mind, and strength. Wholehearted commitment. He was reformed. He was a reformed king. He heard the word, it changed him. So he kept the book of the covenant perfectly. He kept the word of God completely because he loved the word. There's nothing in it for him. Matter of fact, he read the law, and the law promises the destruction. There's nothing in it for him but to do it because he loves the word. Verse 24, moreover, Josiah put away the mediums and the necromancers and the household gods and the idols of all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might establish the words of the law that were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. He found it. He fell in love. So before him, there was no king like him, no king who turned to the Lord with all of his heart. There's his wholehearted commitment, with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his might, to do the word of God. The book of the covenant bound him to the law of God. There's never been anyone like him since. No king turned toward God in love like Josiah. And the love he demonstrated was a demonstration of the word that he loved. He kept the word. Even though God's wrath would not be stalled. Verse 26, still, that's an important adverb, still the Lord did not turn. His wrath was kindled. His wrath was burning hot. It would come. It would destroy. The wages of sin is death. Even Josiah dies. There's no certainty in his reform. There's no certainty. Rather, what he reads in the book of the law convinces him that wrath is inevitable. But he does write for no other reason than that it pleased the Lord. His reform is the action of one who loves God's word with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that is the love, dear Christian, that you should have in your home. That's the love you should have in your home for God's word. We should raise our children in this word. Catechize them in the truth of God's word. Zachary is going to show that the Joneses family has honored God's word. We had this week our consistory meeting, and Zach gave his credible profession of faith, a very credible profession of faith. He knows God's word. He knows truth because his parents led him in that truth. They catechized. They raised him rightly. You should know that as parents. That's an example for us to love our home and our children with God's word. It should be our home, God's word, and in our church, God's word. We should love God's word here. It's what we should do. It's all we should do. And we should seek reformation for no other reason than we love God's word. And this love is our salvation. And I'm not saying our love is our salvation. I'm not saying our wholehearted commitment to God's word is our salvation. Our salvation is the word we love. The object of our love is our salvation. The object. You see, Christ is the word of God. Christ is the word in flesh, the word incarnate. In Luke 4, you know the scene, a famous scene where Jesus is being tried by the devil in the wilderness, 40 days fasting. 40 days fasting in a cold plunge. No, that's what I want to do. 40 days fasting in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And the devil tries to get Christ to turn from Yahweh. And every time, four times, he tempts Jesus to turn from Yahweh. Four times, Jesus answers, "It is written." He says, "No, I will not turn from Yahweh, not because I feel it in my heart or any of these things. No, it's because it is written." And so Jesus gives us the divine tradition, sola scriptura, Bible. It is written. And that's Josiah's response. Josiah's response is, it is written. We do what is written. That is the godly Christian response. The godly Christian response is sola scriptura. The godly Christian response to life is, it is written. Christ shows us the love, shows us how to love the Lord by loving his word alone. Christ shows us a heart committed to the scripture. The divine tradition is sola scriptura. And as the living word, Christ is the scriptures in flesh. Christ's wholehearted commitment is our salvation. His love is eternal life. His commitment is our righteousness, who is obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And he fulfilled God's word. Wholeheartedly loved it with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He loved God's word. He fulfilled God's word that he might fill you with God's word. He fulfilled it to make you the righteousness of the word. You see, the word of God not only reveals Christ's righteousness, it does. But the word of God also creates that which it reveals. Word of God makes you righteous. It speaks it into you. It's living and active divine speech. It creates the existence it requires. And it is the word of the God, the book of the covenant, that binds you to God that you might keep his law. Living an act of speech, it acts new life in us. It is not I who live, but Christ in me, that word of God in me, the word of God through me. We are made by the word, and we are made for the word. Made by the word, made for the word. It is this life of faith and wholehearted trust in the Lord that enabled Josiah and all of God's people throughout history to walk after the word of the Lord. The Christian man must live by every word of the Lord. God's word is living and active speech. It speaks grace and peace, the grace of our Christ, the grace of Christ who has redeemed us from the sin of this world, the devil, and the disease of our own hearts. It's the grace of Christ that has raised us to new life, and this is the life of the word. So let us live, and let us live as Christ, in Christ, for it is written. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
At Covenant Reformed Church in Missoula, Montana, we sincerely believe God's word and faithfully teach it. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. For more information, please visit MissoulaURC.com. That's MissoulaURC.com.